The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word had handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. As you know, between January 19 and 27, we have what we used to be called the octave of Christian unity. I wrote about it in last week's bulletin, the week of prayer for Christian unity, and we did have our celebration on Wednesday evening with Bishop Burbidge, and it was a beautiful, it's on our Facebook video account, as well as I recorded my homily. I wanted to do something about Christian unity this weekend, and now as I'm hearing this second reading over and over, it's like, I'm going to have to write a paper on this and probably publish, because, you know, when St. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, they were a divided people. They were divided spiritually, they were divided socially and politically, just like we are today. And he wasn't speaking out of a perfect context. He was talking to people who were experiencing this kind of division, like we are today. And what he says is that all the parts have a purpose and all the parts make up the body. And so I'm beginning to think now this might be a new path for ecumenism in our world, because we need to start looking at each other, each other's churches, as parts of one body and honor each other more than we have been doing. I think too often we try to come out of a place of perfection. And it doesn't really make sense, does it? Because if we were perfect, why would we need a church anyway? So anyway, but that's not the homily I prepared for today, so maybe another time. But Pope Francis in 2019, so 3 years ago, he named this third Sunday of Ordinary Time the Sunday of the Word of God. He writes in his motu proprio, "Aperuit illis," "Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures." He's quoting the Gospel of Luke. This was one of the final acts of the risen Lord before his ascension. Jesus appeared to the assembled disciples, broke bread with them, and opened their minds to the understanding of sacred scriptures. To them, in the middle of their fear and bewilderment, he unveiled the meaning of the paschal mystery, that in accordance to the Father's eternal plan, Jesus had to suffer and rise from the dead in order to bring repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He then promised to send his Holy Spirit, who would give them strength to be living witnesses of this saving mystery. The relationship between the risen Lord, the community of believers, and sacred scripture is essential to our identity as Christians. This is still the Pope speaking. Without the Lord who opens our minds to them, it is impossible to understand the scriptures in depth. Yet the contrary is equally true. Without the scriptures, the events of the mission of Jesus and of his church in this world would remain incomprehensible. Hence, St. Jerome could rightly claim, ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. Francis continues, this Sunday of the Word of God will thus be a fitting part of that time of the year when we are encouraged to strengthen our bonds with the Jewish people and to pray for Christian unity. This is more than a temporal coincidence. The celebration of the Sunday of the Word of God has ecumenical value, since the scriptures point out for those who listen the path to authentic and firm unity. There can be no question as to why this Sunday was also chosen by Pope Francis in 2019, because we have a 3-year cycle of Sunday readings, and the last time we heard this cycle of readings, cycle C, was when the Word of God is central to the entire story of salvation. When the people of Israel, the Judeans, were deported into captivity by the Babylonians between 597 and 582 BC, and Solomon's temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, it seemed that all was lost. However, when Babylon fell to Persia, King Cyrus permitted the Judeans to return home. And according to the biblical book of Ezra, construction of the second temple began in 537 BC. During the 60 years that the people of Israel were in exile, one generation died, another one followed, and yet another generation was born without any memory of life and culture in Judah and Samaria. It became apparent that the scriptures, as we know them today, which had never even been written down until this time, some 1,400 years after Abraham, it became apparent that the scriptures were at risk of being lost altogether. And so it was during the exile that Ezra the scribe and others began to write down, to gather the oral traditions and stories of the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah or Pentateuch, and they wrote them down. They brought these scrolls home to Jerusalem as their greatest treasure, the embodiment of who they are and their relationship with the living God. The scene we see in the first reading today is so emotional, weeping and celebrating at the same time, throngs of people coming to hear for the first time the Word of God proclaimed. The law of Moses is restored to the people of this first covenant. Their identity itself was saved. Imagine yourself in this scene as one of the members of this incredible crowd of people who have gathered, worried that you were losing your identity as people of faith, coming somewhere for a message of hope, for a message that, in fact, our tradition has been preserved. I don't think this is too hard for us to imagine, because it's happening today. Imagine, upon hearing the Word of God proclaimed for the first time and the law of Moses, you simply begin to weep, because there is nothing more beautiful than the Word of God. A half a millennium later, Jesus steps into his hometown synagogue where he grew up. So imagine this scene for a moment. He's familiar to everyone. He's the local son who suddenly just gets up and begins to read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, much of which was composed during the Babylonian exile and later it is an extended meditation on the destiny of Jerusalem into and after the exile. Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel because there are so many references to Jesus, the Messiah servant, who is to come and save God's people. Jesus basically proclaims the word about himself and then informs the crowd that it is truly about him. Today, he says, this passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Today. I think it's pretty obvious why Jesus chose his hometown synagogue to do this, because he's in a place where he is familiar with everyone. The fact that they think they know who he is what tests their faith. If he had just been a stranger and went to some strange town and made this kind of claim, it wouldn't be personal. What Jesus is doing here is a personal message. Today, he says, this passage is fulfilled in your hearing. That word today is always a theologically charged word because the word of God is not, it's not bound to a particular moment in time. Today means now. Now is the scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Now is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, now salvation is coming to your house. Today, hodie. In speaking this in the synagogue, we recognize that he is the author of the word, he is the breath that carries it, and he is the proclamation itself that is fulfilled. It reminds me of this corresponding reality of the presence of Jesus in Eucharist, where he is the priest and the altar and the Lamb of Sacrifice. In him, all comes to full circle, to completion, the beginning and the end. The power of the word is in its being heard. I always cringe when I look out and I see everybody following along in their missalettes. I often ask people to put down their missalette because you can't control the message. Its impact is through its reception by hearing. If you read it with your eyes, it goes to your intellect. But if you listen with your ears, it goes to your heart. It is the Holy Spirit himself who delivers this word. And regardless of the actual words themselves, you will receive from the Holy Spirit the message that is intended particularly for you. Somebody else will often hear something completely different. This is the basis for the ancient prayer tradition of the church, Lectio Divina, which uses the Bible not as a textbook, but as a prayer book. I don't know if you've noticed in the bulletin, we have a book club. And last month we did the book called Lectio Divina by Basil Pennington. It's an excellent little book. Very quick, very easy to read, about 180 pages, little pages. I would recommend it because what happens in the tradition of the church is the scripture becomes our prayer. So the question for you today is, when you listen to the word of God, do you open your heart to receive it with the same kind of intensity as those who wept at the Watergate when they realized that it might have been lost entirely? With the same kind of wonder for the one who fulfills it in our hearing each time we listen? This celebration of the word of God is our celebration of good news, of promise, and the truth that sets us free. Today we pray that we may truly become people of the word of God.